It's Thursday, the 31st of December, 2015. Happy birthday to Ty Corbin. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and BG Session. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like BG Session and be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. It is truly that simple. Thank you to everyone who has done that so far. Obviously, it goes a big way in securing sponsors for the podcast, and hopefully going to have an announcement of a new sponsor next week, and looking forward to that one. NBA, where we had a big day in the NBA. We've got a five-game slate to look forward to for New Year's Eve. The 2015 calendar year is almost over here in Australia. You know what? Let's not waste any more time.
Let's get to it.
Okay. The monstrous line of the night goes to Brook Lopez of the Brooklyn Nets. He went 24-15, but it was in the other categories that he really helped. 3 steals, 5 blocks, added 2 assists, went 10 of 12 from the free throw line. You don't love the fact that he went 7 of 18 from the field. That's a little bit detrimental, but those defensive numbers are fantastic for Brook Lopez, and he always gets maligned as a bad defender, and he's not a great defender, but he's always been a good fantasy defender, a guy who's basically going to give you 2 blocks a game, and that's what he's again giving you this year. And you know, for a guy that we had worries about, well, I didn't have that many worries about, but there's always a concern over his injuries. He's been remarkably healthy. He's gone for 19.5 and 8.5 at 0.8 steals, 2.1 blocks, and 48 and 80 is his percentages. His field goal percentage has dropped a little bit compared to last year, but we know that he's elite talent when he stays healthy, and let's just hope that all these foot problems are behind him. He's cranked it up another gear in the last 2 weeks. He's a 20 and 10 guy, and over a steal, and almost 2.5 blocks as well. So Brook Lopez, if you made that investment, and you probably could have got him in the 4th round, maybe even stretched into the 5th round, he's definitely returning a tremendous value on that, and we just have to make sure we keep our fingers crossed that he remains healthy for the rest of the season. The waiver wire line of the night, this might as well just become the Memorial JJ Barea Award. 31 minutes for Barea, 23 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 5 3-pointers, and went 9 of 12 from the field, including 5 of 7 from 3. This hotness, it cannot continue. It can't. He's shooting 62% across the last 3 games, including 68% from 3. He is just on a ridiculous hot streak. And yes, it's been inflated these last couple of games, but even the last month for JJ Barea, he's a 58% shooter from 3 in a month of action. He's getting 2.5 triples a game and 4.6 assists. Now, when Darren Williams returns, he's going to go back to a 19-20 minute role, and it's going to mean it's hard to own him in a standard league. But for now, obviously, you have to keep on holding. He's had, you know, 3 great, not even great games, 3 marvelous games, and 1 real stinker since Williams has been out. Keep holding Barea, keep running with him. And then Williams comes back. You always like to give it 1 game at least before you drop him and see exactly what plays out there. But the value over the last month looked pretty good. Again, some of those with Darren, some of those without, and that's inflated some of his numbers. But otherwise, just been an incredibly valuable DFS guy, an incredibly valuable standard league guy if you've added him when that Williams injury was announced with that hamstring strain. We still don't know exactly when Williams is going to be back. The young gun of the night, Jeremy Grant of the Philadelphia 76ers. Grant moved into a starting role, played 34 minutes, even with Jahlil Okafor coming back. He went 16-11. He had 2 threes, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 5 blocks. And that's where Jeremy Grant's upside lies, in his ability to get steals and blocks and hit threes as well. Not someone that you need to really own in standard leagues, but for the year, he's a 1.7 block guy, 0.7 steals, half a 3, and 4.5 rebounds. It's more of a 14-team league guy, and there was early parts of the season when he had more value, and this is obviously a huge game here. But I just want to monitor how it worked, because the Sixers played a lot better with Jahlil Okafor on the bench, coming out of the bench unit. Nerlens Noel and Ish Smith is basically an unstoppable force, apparently, with the way that they're playing. So with those, I think they're 2-1 in the 3 games that Ish Smith's played for the Sixers. and Nerlens Noel is dominating, do they keep Okafor on the bench? To me, Okafor is not... he's good, and he's good offensively, but I don't know. I'm a bit worried that maybe he doesn't get straight back, or who doesn't take, or he doesn't go straight back into this big minute lineup and offensive, black hole. That's the wrong word, I guess. I'm just taking a lot of shots because of the way that Noel has played, and that's going to open up more run for Grant. He's not going to be a scoring threat, but he's strictly going to be a defensive guy. Blocks, steals, rebounds, and you're going to take a bit of a hit in your percentages with him. So just keep an eye to see what happens with this Jahlil Okafor situation. Also realize that his last three games, he's hit 60% from three, and he's a 22% shooter on the year. So he's not a good shooter. He's in definitely a hot streak at the moment, and that's been valuable for him. But I don't think that you really need to run out and grab Jeremy Grant, but he's someone to keep an eye on to see exactly what they do with Jahlil Okafor in this rotation. The dart of the night goes to Lord Alfred Payton, who played just 5 minutes. He was battling an illness and an ankle issue. 5 minutes for him, one assist. That's it. One turnover, sorry. Well, I'll add that in as well. So a very disappointing night from Lord Alfred Payton. Do not get too panicked over this. This wasn't Scott Skiles pulling a shifty and playing him and then benching him for the rest of the game. It was legit. He was sick and he was dealing with an ankle sprain. So he'll improve over the next couple of days. And I don't think we've got anything really to be worried about Lord Alfred Payton. The DFS value play of the day was Jeremy Grant as well. He was priced at 4,000 and he put up 43.2 DFS points on FanDuel. That's it, the nightly awards. Let's now move in to look at these box scores and get into these games in that little bit more detail that we like to do on the podcast. Where are we? Oh, you got it up on the screen. You guys are set. Let's bring it up and let's get stuck into it. The first game is the Los Angeles Clippers and the Charlotte Hornets. Twitter user Stop Bunting Please tweeted me an interesting theory today, and it's something I'm definitely going to have a look into. But players returning to their home state, or in this case, state where they played college, having big games. Austin Rivers, back in North Carolina, where he went to college, went 22-3-2 with four triples. JJ Redick, back in North Carolina, where he went to college, played 27 minutes and went 26 points with five threes. Obviously bears a little bit more research, but some of the thought process could make sense. Maybe his college mates are there. He's got more people in the crowd watching, wants to put on a bit of a show. There could be family. It could also double as a hometown, a college town sort of situation for some players. It's worth looking into. I don't think it's a necessarily an awesome theory. That's not true. It could be an awesome theory. It's obviously something that deserves a look as a marginal factor. But we saw Rivers and Redick put up big numbers here. Now, I'm not buying into Austin Rivers doing that on a consistent basis, but JJ Redick is going to see an increase in usage with Blake Griffin out, and he's going to have a big rise in his fantasy value, so look for that to happen. Chris Paul went 9-10-11 with a steal and a block, not his greatest shooting night, going 4 of 13, but that's fine. 13-13 for DeAndre Jordan, and Paul Pierce made another start, played just 21 minutes, but a really productive night. 13-5, three triples, a steal, and a block. It's going to be very hard for him to play those 27 minutes like he did a couple of games back. And I don't think he's going to be able to get enough run or sustain enough production to be someone that has to be owned in 12-team leagues. But in a deeper format, while Blake Griffin's out, Pierce is going to get some okay looks and he can get hot and hit some threes. But that's really about it. There's not a lot to love with Paul Pierce. Another big game from Cole Aldrich, that name does my head in. I don't know why it's so hard to say. 14 minutes for Aldrich. 7 points, 3 rebounds, but 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I've said it a million times. This guy has fantasy potential written all over him if he's going to get the minutes, and he's a name that you must keep in the back of your mind. Wes Johnson played 21 minutes in this one, and Josh Smith did not see the court at all. So started one game, played 5 minutes, and out of the rotation the last two. He obviously holds no fantasy appeal. On the Hornets, Charlotte Hornets, Al Jefferson is now out for the next 6 weeks with a meniscus issue. Drop him. Just drop him everywhere. You can put him on an IR if you want, but I was already talking about maybe he was a guy you needed to drop before this issue. Now you definitely have to do it. Cody Zeller will likely continue to start, and he's a guy that you probably hear me talk more Cody Zeller on this podcast than anyone on any podcast ever talks about, and it's because I really do believe in his potential to be a very useful fantasy player. 12-8 here, 3 steals, a block, 4 of 6 shooting, 4 of 4 from the line. He can do he can do bits, and I think that in a 12-team league, if you're making a direct switch, drop Al Jefferson, pick up Cody Zeller. I think that he's going to have value. Now, he's not going to blow anyone's mind or anything like that, but I think he's going to have significant long-term value. So with Frank Kaminsky, he'll be a guy that is probably a little bit less than Zeller to me. A definite 14-team league ad. He played 29 minutes here and went 20-4 with 2 threes, but he's been productive so far this season. He can hit threes, he can hit his free throws, he can score. He normally, well, he can block shots. I'm adding Zeller over Kaminsky, but there is some value with Kaminsky. Now, he obviously thrived with Hawes out. And the other thing that's happening here with this is that Marvin Williams is just dropping way off. 24 minutes for Marvin Williams, 5-5 with 2 blocks. So it's allowing Zeller and Kaminsky to play together. And that's good because Marvin Williams, we know who he is. And the answer to the question, who is Marvin Williams? The answer to the question is a bad basketball player. So Zeller and Kaminsky could be the future of this front court. Both provide ability to stretch the floor. Zeller's rebounding at a much better rate and more aggressively than he has in his career. I really like the direction of these guys moving forward. No Jeremy Lin in this one, so Jeremy Lamb got a bigger role, 19-5 in his 23 minutes, but he'll likely only have that bigger role while Lin remains out, and PJ Harrison got himself an extra 3 minutes and didn't do much with him. Nick Batum went 19-8-6, while Kemba Walker went 29-3-7 with 2 threes and 2 steals, and his career season just keeps going on and firing on all cylinders. The Brooklyn Nets and the Orlando Magic, Thad Young just 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, not his greatest night. And Bojan Bogdanovic, he was decent. He took the second most shots on the team. He went 9 of 17, had 20 points, a 3, a 6, and a, sorry, try that again. 20 points, a 3, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. We know that he can do this. He's just too unreliable for standard leagues. Jarrett Jack could not hit a shot. He was 2 of 11, 5 points, but 5 rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 steals. Exactly what you want. Just imagine if he hits 45% of those shots, we're talking 12-5, 12-5-10 with 2 steals, and it's a very, very good night. Shane Larkin got 24 minutes, so that's encouraging. No points, 5 assists and 2 steals. Remember, he's a guy to put on your watch list as well. On the Magic, so with no Alfred Payton, he was lasted just those 5 minutes. Shabazz Napier got into the rotation, 17 minutes for him. 7-3-4, a steal and a 3. Maybe look at DFS, and in deeper leagues, you want to go and look at him if Payton is going to miss any time, which we don't know that yet for sure. But I don't think Napier's going to be too... that's not true, because if Payton misses a game, we might see Napier starting and playing 27 minutes. Then that's a nice start spot for him. Evan Fournier, 17-3-5, 3 threes and 2 steals. That weird little early December slump is over. Nick Vucevic, 20-9 with 3 assists. Another good net game from him. And we saw some Aaron Gordon in this one finally. 26 minutes for Gordon, 10-7, a 3, a steal, and 2 blocks, while Andrew Nicholson was reduced to 7 minutes and Jason Smith reduced to 7 minutes. It's exactly what Skiles should do. I don't know if he necessarily will, because Gordon's been basically 11 minutes every night up until this one. And he does have tremendous fantasy potential. I'm not going and buying into it in a 12-team league just yet. But if he continues at 25-plus minutes, obviously, I'd go and add him. If he gets 25 in the next game, I'd go, okay, Aaron Gordon, let's see where this rolls. Victor Oladipo at least got 29 minutes here. 12-7-3, 2 threes and a steal on 3 of 11 shooting. Not the greatest night from Oladipo, but the hope is still there that he can figure this out and turn it around. And Toby Harris, a lackluster 12-8 for him. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics, another good game from Lou Williams, 19-4-2, 2 steals and a 3, 35 minutes, which is inexplicable to me, but whatever, it is what it is. They got a big win against the Celtics, which is just terrible for the Celtics. Williams obviously has to be owned, and Jordan Clarkson burst out of his slump for 24 points with a 3 and a steal. 3 assists, not many other stats for Clarkson, and he had been struggling, so it was good to see him back in action. And D'Angelo Russell went 16-6 with 2 threes, a steal, and a block. Larry Nance has been the guy who'd been playing well lately. He only managed 17 minutes here due to an ankle sprain, but the stats were coming. 6-6, 2 assists and a steal. And you want to see the severity of this ankle strain, but in a 14-team league, I think you should look at him. There's been nothing but praise coming from Byron Scott, which again, we don't really listen to much of Byron Scott says, but if he's going to play him 25, 27 minutes, and he's been producing these last couple of games, you have to look at him and consider it. 15-12 for Julius Randle with 5 assists in 27 minutes. He benefited from Nance going down. Kobe was terrible shooting-wise, 5 of 18, but did go 15-11, had 2 threes and 3 assists. So not a bad night, whereas Roy Hibbert was a bad night. 0 points on 0 of 5 shooting with a block. On the Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, 24-3-7. That's pretty stock standard for him these days. And Jay Crowder went 17-5 with 2 threes and 3 steals. A nice night there. Marcus Smart, only 11 minutes for him. 4-2-1, a steal, a block. The potential is there, obviously, but he needs to get back to 25 to 28 minutes to really bother about dealing with. I've got him in one league. He's in the IR. I haven't reactivated him yet. I'll see what goes. If I need to make a move, then I've got no hesitation cutting him in a shallow format. Kelly Olynyk started the second half in place of Amir Johnson. He only played 21 minutes, 5-3-3, a 1-1. The stats remain enticing. The coaching style of Brad Stevens does not. Amir Johnson played 18 minutes. David Lee played 15. Jonas Jerebko played 10. And Jared Salinger played 24. So again, Boston big men all over the place. Olynyk, if he's going to be reduced to a 20 to 21 minute role, there's no point in really holding on to him in a 12-team league. Avery Bradley went 13-4 with a couple of steals. A decent night, but nothing too exciting. While Evan Turner went 24-8 in his 27 minutes. And he's been putting up really nice numbers of late. In a 12-team league, you could do worse than adding Evan Turner, as dumb as that sounds, but he's in for a pretty consistent role off the bench. He's giving you 4.5 assists a game, which can be hard to find. 4.5 rebounds and a steal over the last month. He's not must-own by any stretch. He has value in certain builds. And so if you find him in a 12-team league roster, it's not crazy, but it's also not crazy if you're sitting on the waiver wire. But just consider him, because he has been playing a bit more improved basketball than what we saw, especially from him at the start of the season. The Washington Wizards and the Toronto Raptors. John Wall, 19-7-11 with 5 steals and a block. A big game from him. And Jared Dudley finally got going after a couple of real stinkers. 17-3-3 with 3 threes and 3 steals. That's really, really productive. Like, very, very nice from Jared Dudley. But it's just not consistent enough for a 12-team league. Otto Porter back in the starting lineup after a couple of games off the bench. 20-9, 3 threes and 2 assists. And if you, this is the signal you needed to go and add him, well, you should have done it a couple of days ago. He needs to be re-added. And Ramon Sessions continues this nice, solid production in a bench role. 28 minutes for Sessions, 11-7-4. He's not going to blow big numbers up, but he's going to be pretty consistent. So if you're in that deeper format, or if you just want a guy that's going to give you 3.5 to 4 assists, Sessions could be that guy while Brad Beal is out. Garrett Temple, look, when you're bad, eventually it's going to show up, and that's what's happened to Temple the last few games. Can't get anything going. 4-4 with a 3. If you added him, that's done. And Marcin Gortat went 12-9 and added in 3 blocks. DeMar DeRozan, just really great. 34-6, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 1 3. 15 of 15 from the free throw line, 9 of 24 from the field. He's had a tremendous season this year, DeRozan. He is leading this team to a very high spot in the standings, really helping fantasy teams, which not many people would have expected him to be playing this way. Just having a tremendous season. Jonas Valanciunas moved back to the starting lineup. He played 21 minutes and went 8-9 with a block, while Bismack Biyombo played 27 off the bench and went 12-12 with 2 blocks. Those productions are going to head in completely different directions over the next week. Kyle Lowry went 11-3-6 with 2 steals and 2 threes. And Terrence Ross played 29 minutes off the bench, 14-6 with a couple of threes. So the value for Terrence Ross off the bench is holding pretty still. He's getting those mid to high 20s in minutes. He's hitting some threes. He's producing a little bit. Not a must-own 12-teamer, but not out of place on those rosters. And a definite 14-team league guy. Damari Carroll just brutal at the moment, 7-7. He did return to the starting lineup, so it moved James Johnson completely out of the rotation. But Carroll just not getting it done. 7-7, a 3 and a block on 2 of 10 shooting. And the change in his stat line based on what we saw from him last season in Atlanta and what we're seeing now is stark. He is shooting 38% from the field. He shot 49 last year. 58 from the line, 70 last year. He's at one less point a game. He's at less rebounds. He's at less assists. He's got more steals, but those efficiency numbers are well down. And it's a real concern for, I'll tell you who else it's a concern for. It's a concern for Kent Bazemore as well, I think, because it's a concern for Carroll's future in terms of, was he made better by the players around him? And I think evidence to, at the moment is stating that, yes, those Hawks guys and the system they run really helped him. But the thing is, when Kent Bazemore comes out of contract at the end of this year, is someone going to pony up a Damari Carroll deal for him and then say, hey, shit, look at these numbers that Kent Bazemore put up. They have to be a product of the system. And I've been banging on about Kent Bazemore all season, saying these ridiculous increases in his shooting percentage don't feel real. I get the feeling that if Bazemore goes somewhere else in the next offseason, we could be seeing a big regression, much like we're seeing with Damari Carroll at the moment. Still should be owned in 12-team leagues. In a 10-team league, I would still be holding for the time being, but things aren't, they're not heading in the exact direction that you'd want them to if you drafted Damari Carroll. And I know I did in, I think, one league maybe. The Utah Jazz and the Minnesota Timberwolves is the next game. Trey Burke went crazy. 37 minutes for Burke, 23 points, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and 3 triples. I haven't seen it at all from Trey Burke this season, but he turned it on against the Timberwolves in a game that was just so lackluster in terms of its scoring. 80 points the Jazz finished with. That is yuck. Gordon Hayward, 14 and 5, 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block. And Jeff Withey, another almost double-double, 13 and 9 in 29 minutes with a steal and 2 blocks. So if we know that Favors is going to be ruled out, Jeff Withey is a DFS play, looks to have a little bit of value. Trevor Booker grabbed 15 boards in his 35 minutes, and there was just a lot of nothingness. Rodney Hood was terrible, 1 of 13, 6 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists in 34 minutes. Hal Neto played just 11, and then it's just a bunch of crap. Joe Ingles, Trey Lyles, Elijah Millsap, Chris Johnson, nothing to see there with those guys. Another big game from Karl Anthony Towns, 25 and 10, a steal, 2 blocks. This guy is incredible. There's nothing more to say with him, really. He's just superb. And Ricky Rubio played 36 minutes, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 17 assists, which is a career high, and added 3 steals as well. The minutes are there. He's doing exactly what you wanted him to do, probably even better, to be honest. And yeah, I really like Ricky Rubio. Corgi Jen got 26 minutes, which again, he's considering or he's consolidating himself in this high 20s role. I love it. I wish there was a few minutes more for him and Adrian Payne wasn't getting 16 minutes a night, but it is what it is. Jeng went 12 and 9 with a 3 and 2 steals, and I've been waiting for him to start hitting threes. Only one here. Don't know if it's necessarily going to become a huge part of his arsenal, but I know that he can do it. Tayshaun Prince actually scored another 8 points here, 4 rebounds and 2 steals in his 25 minutes, and Kevin Garnett went 8 and 6 in 18. Andrew Wiggins, 41 minutes, 17, 6, and 4, but just so inefficient. 6 of 17 from the field, 5 of 8 from the free throw line. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but Wiggins' production is just not fantasy friendly. Zach LaVine just played 12 minutes here, 2 points, 3 rebounds. Don't get too worried if this is if you're a LaVine owner based on this game. The Chicago Bulls and the Indiana Pacers. For the Pacers, there was no Jordan Hill and there was no CJ Miles, and George Hill stepped up. 27 and 3, 4 steals and 3 threes. He's on a real roll at the moment, and Lavoie Allen without Jordan Hill, he stepped up. It also helped that Jan Mahinmi went down with a knee injury, but Mahinmi did still play 26 minutes. Allen played 38, went 10 and 12 with a steal. A nice double-double for him, but he's more of a 14-team league sort of guy. Paul George, the shooting woes continued. 7 of 20 for George. 19, 5, and 4 with 4 steals and 3 threes are still really good counting stats, but the shooting is a real concern for him. And Mahinmi, I mentioned him and his knee injury. It's just a sore knee at this point, so it doesn't look like there's any sort of structural issues. 7 and 7 and a steal and a block. Let's just see what happens if you own him in terms of what they diagnose or what they say moving forward, but it doesn't appear like he's going to miss much time, if any. Monte Ellis scored 13 points on 19 shots, and if you're not sure, that's not good. 4 of 19 from the field, 13 points, 5 assists, and 2 steals. So really down on efficiency. But Miles Turner, the prized rookie, returned in this one after that thumb fracture. Played 22 minutes, went 8 and 5, and added 3 blocks. I'm not going to add him in standard leagues because Jordan Hill is going to be another man to put back into that front court rotation. But Turner does have significant fantasy upside, and deeper leagues will definitely be intrigued to see him back in action. The Bulls, no Derrick Rose as a late scratch with a hamstring issue. So they moved Kirk Heinrich into the starting lineup. It was Aaron Brooks that got the biggest run. 41 minutes for Brooks in the overtime game. 29 points, 5 assists, a steal, and 4 triples. Obviously only has value whilst Rose is out. Jimmy Butler played 44 and went 28, 4, and 4 with 2 steals and a block. So a nice night from Jim. And what about Nikola Mirotic? What did he do? The answer is nothing. Yep. 20 minutes for Mirotić, 0 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. He is just one of the most frustrating guys in fantasy. In a 10-team league, I'm okay with dropping him. In a 12-team league, I'm still probably holding. But not only is he frustrating, but the way that he's getting used is frustrating. Taj Gibson played 37 minutes and went 6-14, 2 steals and a block, while Power went 13-11 with 3 blocks. Nice nights from them. And Bobby Portis also had probably his best game. 16-7 in 26 minutes, added a steal and a block, and played more minutes than Mirotić. I don't know whether that's going to be something that continues. And I'm still not someone who's big onto adding Bobby Portis in a standard league. But obviously 14-team leagues have to go and add him. Interesting to see what they do with Portis and with Mirotić once Joakim Noah returns. Doug McDermott came back after 1-game absence with his knee issue, 5-5 with a couple of assists. And shockingly enough, Tony Snell couldn't repeat his heroics from the other day. He had 2 points with 7 rebounds and added a couple of blocks. So a little bit of something there for Tony Snell fans. Yeah, I'm sure there's many of you. The Golden State Warriors suffered their second defeat of the season against the Dallas Mavericks. No Harrison Barnes, no Leandro Barbosa, no Festus Ezeli, and of course, no Steph Curry. With Curry out, Sean Livingston got the start. He went 8-4 in his 21 minutes, but more minutes went to Ian Clark, who played 24, and Brandon Rush played 35. None of these guys are guys you have to go and add. Now, Ian Clark did have 21 points. He had nothing else, 3 threes, and he did it on 8 of 12 shooting, which is not sustainable at all. And Curry could miss one more game, but I don't imagine it's going to be a long-term situation there. Draymond Green went 11-9-4 with 2 steals and a 3. And Klay Thompson struggled. 4 of 15 for him, just 10 points with 2 assists. Not a good night from the Warriors when you lose to the Mavericks by 23. The Mavericks, Zaza Pachulia grabbed 15 boards and had 14 points. Good night from him. He's been a real surprise packet this year. Chandler Parsons stunk, as did Wes Matthews. 5-6-5 for Parsons, 13-3-0 for Wes Matthews. They're going to have their ups and downs, obviously. Still have to be owned, of course. Ray Felton, 21-minute guy. He was a guy that was a must-own player earlier on. He's no longer that guy for 12-10 league, so hopefully you've made that adjustment and moved on and grabbed someone else. The Phoenix Suns and the San Antonio Spurs, speaking of ugly, oh Jesus, this is just, you can't get anything rotation-wise for the Suns out of this. And of course, Jeff Hornacek just changes everything up at all times. Starting lineup, different last starting lineup at the start of the game versus coming back to start the second half. Changes things up all over the place. Like he played Bryce Cotton, his first NBA game ever, he played him 21 minutes. Alex Len's getting shuffled around with Tyson Chandler. Both of them are bad at the moment. John Lua played just 15 minutes because Markieff Morris played 20 minutes. Archie Goodwin returned for 17 minutes. It's just a mess. My same thoughts remain on these guys. Tucker and Warren are guys that you can own. Devin Booker is the most upside play, but I fear he's not going to be a great fantasy producer, and he wasn't really here. Not just disgusting. This team is imploding before our eyes. On the Spurs, Tim Duncan set out again, so that meant it was more Boba Marjanovic time. 15 minutes for Marjanovic, 7 points, 12 rebounds, a steal and a block. Hashtag free Boban Marjanovic. He is putting up stats at such a ridiculous rate at the moment that if for some reason he was to play 30 minutes, look out, game over for fantasy leagues. It'd be a race to the wire to grab Marjanovic. LaMarcus Aldridge went 21-12 with a block in 29 minutes. Not a bad night. And Kawhi didn't do a huge amount. 19 points, still had 2 assists and 2 steals and added 3 threes, but not his greatest performance. And Tony Parker went 12-3-7 with 4 steals. David West got the start with Duncan out. Didn't really do much because Marjanovic got more minutes. DR got some minutes there as well. Matt Bonner saw 12 minutes. And Ray McCallum saw 8. So there's a couple of human victory cigars in that lot. It was just a destruction. We're talking 30-plus points by the Spurs here. So don't get too excited, except if you are looking for long-term value with Boban Marjanovic. The Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers. Will Barton. I don't even know anymore. 31 points for Barton, 4 threes, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 12 of 22 shooting. Just give this guy the MVP. He's been incredible, playing his ass off out of nowhere. Just great, great numbers for Barton. Gary Harris has also developed fantastically as well. 19-4-2, 2 steals, 4 threes. I reckon Harris should be owned in 12-team leagues. And word is that Emmanuel Mudiay is going to be out another 7 to 10 days. So more value for Jahmyr Nelson. So he played 41 minutes in this game. So that means the next game he's probably going to play 20 given the way Mike Malone has done things. So look for a bump from Randy Foy. But Nelson was good. 14, 3 and 8, 2 threes, 2 steals. That is clearly in the standard league realm of value. What about the big men, the centers? Joffrey Lavernier, 12 and 6 with 2 steals in 23 minutes. Nikola Jokic, 10 and 6 with 2 blocks in 18 minutes. This is the way that it's going to roll, and then Yusuf Nurkic is going to be into this mix, and it might be the case that none of these guys are ownable in 12-team leagues because the minutes are just not there for them. Kostas Papanikolaou played 12 minutes. The only fantasy relevance there is I just wanted to say Kostas Papanikolaou, and I did it twice, so I'm pretty happy with myself for doing that. The Blazers, CJ McCollum, another big game in place of Damian Lillard, 29, 3 and 4 with 3 threes, and Alan Crabb went 20 and 5 with 2 steals and 4 threes. Crabb has marginal appeal, but it's clearly not going to be a long-term situation. Mason Plumlee, a big game from him, 13, 7 and 4, a steal, 3 blocks, great numbers from Plumlee, while Al-Farouq Aminu went 14, 9 and 4. Yeah, and shooting 6 of 14 from the field. That's the first game he's gone over 30 minutes in about the last 5 or 6. He can produce numbers, but just hasn't been working really that well for him of late, especially with guys like Mo Harkless playing better, Myers Leonard kicking up his game as well. Now, Harkless was all right here, 12 and 5. Leonard went 11 and 5. Both guys hit a couple of threes. Not really blowing us away, though. Just get Noah Vonleh out of this bloody rotation. Like, why is he playing 16 minutes? He's just not up to it at the moment. And you get these other guys involved, Harkless and Leonard, because they're the guys who I think are better options. And at least allow Aminu to play some more minutes too, because he has been restricted. The last game of the night, the Philadelphia 76ers. Touched on him earlier. Nerlens Noel, 20-9, 2 assists, 4 steals. Just loving life with Ish Smith. And you're also loving life if you own Ish Smith at the moment. 18-3-9. 2 steals, 2 blocks, just an absolute monster in terms of adding counting stats. Can hurt the percentages sometimes, but went 7 of 14 here. Has to be owned, obviously, in every league. I'm sure he is. Isaiah Cannon had a decent night, 15 and 3 with a couple or 3 three-pointers. And Bob Cove played just the 25 off the bench and went 9 of 5. Not his best outing, but at least the minutes are over 25. That's a bonus. He's someone that we can hold on to and see how this plays out. I mentioned Jahlil Okafor earlier on. He played 20 minutes, had 10 and 10, and hurt the percentages. Went 4 of 11 from the field and went 2 of 5 from the free throw line. He will be better. He will be better than that. And just wait and see how it plays out. I do love them running Noel at center, though. I love that. I love that lineup. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with this Okafor situation moving forward. Nick Stauskas, 3 points in 19 minutes. He doesn't have any real appeal in fantasy leagues. Onto the Sacramento Kings. Rajon Rondo, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 14 assists, and 2 steals. So the very Rajon Rondo type night. 21-11 for Boogie with 3 blocks. And Omri Caspi, double-double, 10-11 with 2 threes. You know that I'm going to say that Caspi is a must-own player. Nice line from Collison, keeping him in that 12-team conversation. 13-5-4 in 29 minutes. And Rudy Gay stunk. He was 9-7. In 32 minutes. That's it for the recap of the games. It is approximately 150 degrees Fahrenheit here at the moment. Minor exaggeration. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to have a drink of water. I'm probably going to have to mop down my brow as well. And then we'll be back to talk daily fantasy for New Year's Eve.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now, me and the sky are on a roll. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus lets you know you can't see what I see.
There's 5 games. There's 6 games on New Year's Eve. So let's get stuck into talking about these games. The first one of those is, who is it? It's the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 6. The total is 198. We need to check the status of Jan Mihinmi, who left the game with that knee injury. CJ Miles, who's missed the last couple with a back problem. Jordan Hill, who missed the last game for dental work as well. So we need to check the status of all those guys. Paul George is down at 8,500. He's doing basically nothing to produce that sort of value, so I reckon we leave him alone. Although it is an interesting matchup. Maybe if you're feeling frisky, you throw him into a tournament and hope he drops a 50, but things are not trending in the right direction for him. I wouldn't be using CJ Miles even if he does play. Other Pacers guys, George Hill's kicking it up a couple of notches here. A 28-point average for him across his last five. He's priced at just 5,300, so you don't have to break the bank to go and get him. He put up 39 in today's game. Carter Williams on defense is a concern, so that might make me lean in another direction, but he has been playing well. Greg Monroe is not someone I want to spend 7,200 on because John Henson is playing quite well and Monroe is tailing off a bit. 3,900 for Henson. He's got a 23.7 average across his last three. He only needs 24 minutes to really be productive. I'm okay with him at 3,900. I think he's a very, very nice tournament option. And I don't actually hate him in cash games because he can rack up 20 points without really doing that much. 6,400 for Chris Middleton. On fire in the last game, he won the monstrous line of the night yesterday. He's got a 36-point average across his last five at 6,400. That is really valuable. Not an overly intense matchup in terms of defensive value going up against the Pacers, as good as Paul George might be. Middleton is playing at a superior level in the last couple of weeks and is someone to really watch for. I think he can be used. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 6,900 for him, almost 40 points in the last game in 40 minutes. Prior to that, he hadn't been quite on his game, so I'm not sure I want to get him out there, but 6,900 is not an excessive salary, so I've got a little bit of love for Giannis. Michael Carter-Williams, 6,500, just too many other options, and George Hill is a pretty good defender. I don't want Carter-Williams, I don't want Bayless, I don't want OJ Mayo. There's just too much uncertainty with these guys. Jabari Parker is really struggling. He can be left alone, even though he's only at 4,400. And overall, there's not... maybe Monte Ellis at 6,000? No, I reckon we can leave that one go through as well. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Detroit Pistons is the next game. The Pistons are favored by 7.5. The total here is 201 points. Reggie Jackson at 7,500. Against the Timberwolves team, who do allow point guards to put up big numbers. He's probably due a big one here, Reg. So I reckon he might be looking at a 45-plus night. So he's someone that I like looking at. Andre Drummond struggled in the last game too at 9,400. I reckon he can be looked at. And his direct counterpart, Karl-Anthony Towns, at almost 2,000 less, is really playing fantastically. Now, the big body of Drummond, might that bother Towns? Yes, there's some concern to me that going up against Andre Drummond is a little bit of a concern. It's not like Towns is a big, huge, strong sort of guy like what Drummond is or Hassan Whiteside or someone like that. So it makes me be a little bit cautious with Towns. I reckon Towns will have pretty decent ownership as well. So not sure I'm all that in love with using him. Marcus Morris at 5,600. He's just been sort of consistently giving you those 25 points. Is a break-even type matchup. He's 5,600. He's mid-salary. Yeah, it's fine. There's no real excitement there. Whereas Ricky Rubio, there is excitement. He's at 7,500. He's a 40-point guy across his last three games. Dropped 41 today. Can he keep that sort of form going? Well, the problem is they can throw Kentavious Caldwell-Pope onto him, which might be a concern. Not using Zach LaVine at 5,200, and I'm not using Caldwell-Pope either at 5,500. He is definitely in a bit of a slump, and it's not the greatest use of assets there. Andrew Wiggins, if he comes under 6,000, then maybe I'll consider him. At 6,600, I don't want much to do with him. Ersan Ilyasova is an interesting one. 5,300. He's got a 25-point average across his last five games. There's a little bit of intrigue there, but I reckon you can probably do better than throwing him out there unless it's just a tournament lineup. The Warriors and the Rockets is the next game. We don't know if Steph Curry is going to play in this one, so obviously that has a huge factor on the Warriors. We know that Terrence Jones is going to be back after his illness, and we don't know about Festus Ezeli, who's battling that toe problem. Clint Capela at 5,200. The value is there for him. He put up 36 in the last game. He's got a 20-point average across his last five, which is not great, but it's not terrible either. is a tournament play only. He's got some value and everything, you know, seems to come out well for him in terms of the projections, but I'm not sure that it's it's a great play in a cash situation. Andrew Bogut at 4,300, he just gets 24 minutes and gets 24 fantasy points, and that's enough. So I do like using Andrew Bogut again, especially against Houston, and even doubly if Festus Ezeli is out. Ty Lawson is at 3,800. That's a low salary. Yes, he's been disgusting, but 23 points in the last one, a 20.7 average across the last three, under 4,000, go for your life. Throw Ty Lawson out there, you might get 25 fantasy points, and there's your 6x value done. Draymond Green at 9,200, this is an enticing matchup, but without Steph Curry, it really does affect the other Warriors guys, which we saw today. It might affect them positively in this game, but I think there's a little bit of worry. Overall, if I've saved enough money, throwing him out there at 9,200 is not the worst move in the world, and he's pretty much going to be a 40-point guy, you would expect. Trevor Ariza has been really struggling. His salary hasn't come down enough. And Klay Thompson at 7,300, I reckon we go back to that well, and I think his ownership will be down because this is a prime matchup for him. 7,600 for Dwight. He's been playing a lot better. He's got a 35-minute average across his last three. He put up 54.7 in the last game. I think that we can start maybe considering Dwight Howard here. Maybe. I probably wouldn't personally, but he's getting into that spot where he's starting to look a bit more like old Dwight. James Harden at 10,500. Is he 45 points? Could he get hot? Yes, absolutely. I think that he's a pretty decent use of the $10,000. And Steph Curry at 11,000. That's still too high. Odds are to me that he doesn't play, so I'm not all that keen in getting Steph Curry into a lineup, and Terrence Jones is still priced too highly at 5,000. Phoenix and Oklahoma City is the next game. The Thunder are favored by 15. The total is 210. So this has got blowout written all over it. We've seen what happens to the Thunder in other blowouts against the Lakers. KD and Westbrook, they play about 27 minutes. It's going to make it hard. It's hard to resist Westbrook at 10,700, given he's got a 53-point average across his last five games and a low score of 46.6, a low. But the blowout is real here. I still think that I'm happy using him, though. It is a lot of money, but I'd much rather spend $10,000 on him than I would on $11,000 on Steph, and even the $10,000 odd on James Harden. Westbrook is my number one target for those big money guys. Kevin Durant at 10,100 is also quite appealing, and this is a very nice matchup against the Suns, but be aware that don't have full exposure to these guys because of the blowout factor, I think. Brandon Knight, 6,900, struggled in the last couple. You have to think he's going to be due for a big game, and I actually like him going up against Russell Westbrook, so I think he's a decent play. What about the other guys filling in for Eric Bledsoe? TJ Warren, PJ Tucker, Devin Booker. 4,000 for Warren, 3,900 for Tucker, 3,600 for Booker. You can throw all of them into a tournament and see how it works out. I think that PJ Tucker at 3,900 has been averaging 22.5. He had a real down day today, but at 3,900, does he get you 25 points? That's plenty. He could do that. I'm not saying he will, but he could be a 20-point, 25-point guy here. But all of them are worth consideration. None for cash games, though. John Lua got Markieff Morris and Jeff Hornacek in the last game. 15 minutes for him, 11 points, 4,800. Nope, no thanks. Not if they're going to start playing Markieff Morris funny buggers on the Suns rotation. You can leave that alone. Obviously, we're leaving Tyson Chandler and Alex Len out of this. I like Enes Kanter, 5,300. On fire lately, getting more trusted Billy Donovan, playing more minutes, putting up stats at a ridiculous rate. I like using Enes Kanter. And I don't hate Serge Ibaka at 6,300, a 25-point average across the last three. You want him to be a little bit better than that, but against a Suns team that's that bad, he could go and have four blocks in the first quarter and be well on his way to value. Campaign's an interesting one. 26 points in the last one, a 16.8 average in his last three in 12 minutes at 3,700. Don't play him. But just know, again, know that this guy is going to be a DFS stud and he's going to be a seasonal league stud as well if he gets playing time, which could happen this season if an injury befalls Russell Westbrook. They'd probably go to Augustine, but Payne has clearly overtaken him in the rotation the last couple of games. So that's worth just keeping in your mental notebook. The Los Angeles Clippers and the New Orleans Pelicans with the next game. The Pelicans are favored by 3, which is an odd line to me. The total is 208. DeAndre Jordan at 7,600 against this weak interior of the Pelicans. He's a 40-point guy here, I reckon, in this game, so this is a decent value. I also like DeAndre Davis. I like Anthony Davis at 10,200. No Blake Griffin for him to contend with. Interesting to see what Elvin Gentry is going to do. He said he's going to make changes to his starting lineup. He's got other ideas of changes to make, and that doesn't include starting Drew Holiday and Ryan Anderson, because why wouldn't you want to start your best players? I understand not playing starting Ryan Anderson. Fine, I get it. Just start Drew Holiday. Just start him. Yeah, Alonzo G doesn't need to start. I don't know what change he's going to make that doesn't involve bringing Drew Holiday or Ryan Anderson in. The only thing I can hope for is it involves bringing Alexei Yintsev in, because we know what Omer Asik is at this point. Eric Gordon was terrible in the last game, but had been red hot the game before that. Not a good matchup for him here. I like JJ Redick, though, at 4,600, less than 5,000. The usage is going to start skyrocketing soon. Love him. And 9,000 for Chris Paul, a 40-point average across his last three. He's been a pretty rock-solid guy. And again, the Pelicans' backcourt is not great. 7,400 for Tyreke Evans. It's not a... It's okay. Don't think I love it going up against Chris Paul, though. Leave Ryan Anderson out of it. Drew Holiday's production's dipped a bit again, and he's got a face-off against Chris Paul, too. And there's not much else, I don't think. Paul Pierce, maybe you could look at Paul Pierce at 3,800. Definitely has tournament upside. He's gave you 26 in the last game. He's got a 23.8 average across those last three games. Has a little bit of intrigue. Not cash gaming him at all. The last game of the night, a couple of injuries to check on. Damian Lillard with that plantar fasciitis issue, and Derek Favors with the back spasms for Utah. It is obviously Portland versus Utah, and there is no spread released for it just yet. If Favors plays and he was healthy, I'd love it, but not sure I want to go with him coming straight off back spasms. Trevor Booker at 4,300 gets a bump to me if Favors is out. He put up 26.5 in this game. We know that the Blazers do allow power forwards to get a little bit of extra run, so he's someone that comes into calculations. And Rod Hood at 4,500 has been struggling in a tournament. I think that you can go and look at using him, but I'm not trusting him in a cash game. Nor do I think that Trey Burke's going to repeat what he did today at 4,500. Gordon Hayward, as always, if Favors is out at 7,600, is a play. Damian Lillard at 9,000. No. CJ McCollum is now 8,200. That's pretty expensive. Even today, when he went off, he still only put up 37.6. It's a difficult matchup against Utah. I don't reckon that I'm going to be all over CJ McCollum in this slate. He's going to be highly owned. That salary has just jumped through the roof. I'm just not sure that he gets you the 42 points that you need to be 5X. I'm not sure he gets there. We'll see, I guess. Myers Leonard, tournament. Alan Crabb at 4,400. If Lillard's out, I don't mind using Crabb. Although, again, it's not a great matchup for him in this spot. Mason Plumlee I do like at 5,400. He's been putting up some really good lines. 33 today, 29 average across his last three. There is always the issue of a clunker, but yeah, he's been pretty good. The other guy obviously we have to look at after another big game today is Jeff Withey. He's averaging 27.5 in those last three games. An easy matchup for him. 3,900. If there's no Favors, to me, he's a guy that I want to get exposure to in cash games and in tournaments, because he has been getting big run. He's been playing pretty decently, and the production's been really nice from him. All right, that is it for that part of the Daily Fantasy Preview. Let's now look at the picks of the day. Point guard Ty Lawson, 3,800. Reggie Jackson, 75. And Russ Westbrook, 10,700. At shooting guard, JJ Redick, 46. Klay Thompson, 73. And James Harden, 10,500. At small forward, PJ Tucker, 39. Chris Middleton, 64. And Kevin Durant, 10,100. Power forwards John Henson, 39, Clint Capella, 52, and Anthony Davis, 10,200. While at center, Andrew Bogut, 4,300, Enes Kanter, 5,300, and DeAndre Jordan at 7,600 rounds it out. We are done. Thanks, guys. I hope everyone who is celebrating New Year's has a good New Year's Eve, has a safe New Year's Eve, and enjoys themselves. Hope your fantasy teams go well. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Basketball Monster is at Basque Monster. Check out the website basketballmonster.com and hardwoodparoxysm.com as well. We are done, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.